This message comes from NPR sponsor LiveRight, publishers of Left 4 Dead, Shipwreck, Treachery, and Survival at the Edge of the World by Eric J. Dolan. The true story of five castaways abandoned on the Falkland Islands during the War of 1812. Available wherever books are sold.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Lieutenant General Scott Spellman, says there's a lot of work to do to clear debris following the collapse of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge after it was struck by a cargo ship this week.
First is the channel itself. It is 700 feet wide and 50 foot deep. There is a lot of heavy, very heavy steel bisecting that channel, and there's a lot of concrete at the bottom of the channel. We have to get the steel out, and we have to get the concrete off of the bottom.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore calls the salvage operation unprecedented. 7 floating cranes, 10 tugboats, 9 barges, 8 salvage vessels, and 5 Coast Guard boats are on the scene. Tuesday's collapse killed 6 people. The bodies of 4 workers remain missing. The UN peacekeeping mission in southern Lebanon says it's investigating the source of a blast that wounded 3 UN military observers and an interpreter. The mission says a shell exploded near the group today amid clashes between Hezbollah militants in the Israeli military. Palestinian citizens of Israel turned out today for a rare protest against the war in Gaza. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports that some still worry about being harassed for criticizing Israel's actions.
Hundreds marched through a hillside town in the Galilee, shouting chants that have gotten others arrested. Palestinians make up 20% of Israeli citizens, but after October's deadly Hamas attack, hundreds were detained for criticizing Israel's occupation, often on social media. Some were arrested for trying to protest. Legal aid attorneys have fought back and won permits for recent small anti-war demonstrations. Israel's government approved today's larger march, part of an annual event for Palestinian rights. Several people said it felt like a safe place to at last express their grief over the Gaza war and hopes for a ceasefire. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Dear Hanna, Israel.
To the Netherlands, where a man is in custody after holding several people hostage at knife point in a cafe. The situation caused a large disruption to the area due to security precautions, but Terry Schultz reports the situation ended with no injuries.
The downtown shopping district and some 150 houses in the central Dutch city of Ede were evacuated after a man took several people hostage in a cafe in the early morning hours. He was believed at the time to be in possession of several knives and explosives. Special forces, police, and emergency services surrounded the location for several hours. 3 hostages were released in the morning, and by early afternoon, the man released the last person unharmed and eventually came out himself to be taken into custody, allowing residents and shopkeepers to return. Ede mayor René Verhoost said the man was a Dutch citizen known to law enforcement and that there did not appear to be a terrorist motive at this point. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
And you're listening to NPR News. The Vatican has confirmed that Pope Francis will preside over tonight's Easter Vigil service in St. Peter's Basilica. The Vatican issued a statement today after Francis skipped participating in the Good Friday procession at Rome's Colosseum for health reasons. Francis is 87 years old. He's been battling respiratory problems that have made it difficult for him to speak at length. Minnesota State University has a chance to pull off a rare basketball double, national championships for both the men's and women's teams, as Greg Eklund reports.
Minnesota State won the NCAA Division II Women's Championship Friday night with a win over Texas Woman's University of Denton, Texas, 89-73. Mavericks coach Emily Tesey says she's rooting for the school's men's team that will meet Nova Southeastern of Davie, Florida, in the title game.
I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just hearing you say it, you know? I mean, the cream of the crop, you know, the premier universities are able to do those kind of things.
It has been accomplished only 3 times on all NCAA levels, twice by the University of Connecticut. For NPR News, I'm Greg Eklund.
The Division I NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament moving into the Sweet 16 today. Notably, Caitlin Clark and her Iowa Hawkeyes are playing Colorado this afternoon. The men's Elite 8 games are this weekend as well. Illinois is playing UConn in the early game this evening, and then Clemson plays Alabama. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.